Good afternoon, Saskatchewan. Welcome into the Green Zone. My name's Britton Gray. I am in for Jamie and Locker for this Thanksgiving weekend, Monday edition of the Green Zone. Welcome in. I hope you had enjoyed your dinner over the weekend, or if not, hopefully you get a chance to have it today. I had a chance yesterday to enjoy some great cooking, some turkey, stuffing, carrots, cabbage rolls, mashed potatoes, all the gravy you could want. None of that cranberry sauce, because that might be the worst thing I've ever tasted. It's terrible. I don't understand how it's become a staple as a part of Thanksgiving dinner. But to each their own, not for me. But welcome in. We're talking some sports, and boy, what a weekend it was to be a sports fan right now. This is one of the best years when it comes times of the year when it comes to sports. When you look at everything that's on, there are so many options, which I'm sure irritates some people, because rather than engaging with your family or talking, you're busy watching the many sports that are on. Of course, the NHL is back, and will be playoffs are on, and the Blue Jays, they need a big one here today after dropping game one. The CFL, of course, in its home stretch. The NFL, we're in full swing, week six, and the NBA season tips off soon. There will be a lot of sports for you to channel change, everything going on at once. It is a great time because it's all meaningful right now. As much as the weather is a little bit terrible out there recently, we got some snow here in Regina. Of course, it was gross yesterday driving anywhere. But this is way better for being a sports fan than the middle of summer, when all that matters is one of 162 baseball games that are being played during the regular season. But let's start with what was closest to home, which was happening on Friday, and the Saskatchewan Rough Riders got the win they needed and clinched first place in the CFL West Division.
Trevor Harris, three to the right, two to the left, throws to the right, down to the five, looking to the end zone, in! Touchdown, Riders! Harris towards the end zone, got it! Touchdown, Riders! Deggy, deep drop, gets it away, over the taken away and midfield. AJ Allen has it. The road to the Grey Cup through the West will run through Regina.
Yes, whoever is going to represent the West in this year's Grey Cup is going to have to win a game at Mosaic Stadium. That gives me some belief that the Riders might be well on their way to the first Grey Cup appearance since they won it back in 2013. It was big. The Riders beat the Toronto Argonauts 27-19 at Mosaic Stadium. November 8th is when the next meaningful Riders game will be played, with the CFL West final taking place there. Boy, it's going to be something. I can't wait to see what kind of matchup we get. The BC Lions are cruising. The Calgary Stampeders got a get-right game. They looked way better. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers lost to the Edmonton Elks. That Edmonton team maybe a little scrappier than we gave them credit for when the Riders lost to them. They look like they have found a way. Cody Fajardo once again wills that team. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers, those mistakes they've been making all season, the interceptions from Zach Collaros, they fall to Edmonton. And then I know I saw on a social media, some Rider fans, maybe the Riders should just play all their starters this week, because you can continue to kick Winnipeg out of the playoffs as Edmonton tries to battle back. I still think you should rest a bunch of guys. But of course, speaking of Winnipeg, that's who the Riders will face first this regular season game. One of two that is left for the Riders. That doesn't mean anything in the standings, though. You know, the players still want to go out there, put out a good performance, even though a number of starters could be sitting. Of course, the big question was, what's going to happen with Trevor Harris? Is he going to sit? Is he not? Well, we'll get an update from Rider reporter for a day, Jamie Nye, as he returned to practice while I've been here getting the show ready to host it for today. And now, so we'll have to wait and see what happens there, but I can tell you, you're probably not seeing Trevor Harris this week. Switching gears, I imagine a lot of people, speaking of having sports on the television last night, they probably had that big baseball game on, but not the result many were hoping for.
High drive right field. Kyle Raleigh has connected and tied the game in the sixth.
Yes, Kyle Raleigh hits that home run, ties it up. The Jays had a first pitch home run. George Springer on the very first pitch gets a home run, out 1-0. They got one hit the rest of the way. The bats went ice cold, and part of me wonders if part of it was an emotional letdown that team had, just a little bit of a mental blip. You just beat the Yankees, your division rivals. You're feeling good. You have a couple days off. You just watched the Mariners and Lions, Detroit Tigers go a ton of innings. Felt like kind of an emotional letdown. I think they'll get right, but the pitching was good. Kevin Gausman went 5 2/3 innings, being credited with surrendering 2 earned runs, but he was brilliant throughout. And now there's a lot of debate if John Schneider pulled him just a little bit too early. Should he have just let him in? I know some people hate the analytics behind baseball now, but for me, like I said, the biggest concern, those bats have to get going. I don't care how good your pitcher is. If you don't get the bats going, you only get one hit after you get a leadoff home run. Need to be better. Game 2 of that series goes this afternoon. First pitch is set for just after 3 p.m. Also on last night, the Detroit Lions and Kansas City Chiefs dueled it out on Sunday Night Football.
It'll go. Mahomes got it for Worthy. Touchdown. Lions offside. Mahomes keeps it. Scores it. Touchdown. The Blue Lions set. Hollywood Brown in motion. He's got on the pop pass. Hollywood Brown to the end zone. Touchdown, KC. Mahomes. Searching. Second time in the second half.
Yes, Kansas City beat the Lions 30-17 to improve to 3-3 this season. You know, maybe a message to the rest of the NFL, the Chiefs, they're not done yet. Don't count them out yet, despite what their early record was. Tonight in the NFL, we do have a doubleheader of Monday Night Football as the Bills and Falcons play, as well as the Bears and Commanders will meet just a little while later. Also this afternoon, there was some CFL football going on. That game is over. The Montreal Alouettes cruise to a 32-10 win over the Ottawa Redblacks. Of course, Montreal, Hamilton lost to Calgary. Montreal still in the hunt to finish first in the East and hold the East final there. Davis Alexander did have to leave for a little bit. Apparently, they ran him on a short yardage play. He got hurt on that, came back out. They're fine. The Montreal Alouettes, the scariest team in the CFL. Maybe. No one can beat Davis Alexander in this league quite yet. In other news, speaking of Montreal, the Canadiens have locked up one of the premier young players in the NHL, defenseman Lane Hudson. The Calder Memorial Trophy winner as the league's top rookie last season signed a massive 8-year extension to keep him in Montreal throughout the 2033-34 season. He's still only 21. 8-year extension. They have a lot of years to enjoy that talent because, boy, he is a great talent out there. So what do we have here on a jam-packed show for you today? Well, as spoken, we'll talk to Jamie Nyhan, get a little bit of a practice update from him here shortly. We'll head back to Friday night as well and hear from the Green Zone guys and get their thoughts from immediately after the game.
Corey Mace dodged the blood.
Don't you dare, he says.
Sean Bain and Micah Johnson went for it, and he gave it the stiff arm.
Remember
he was like,
year?
Get me wet at the Grey Cup, not today.
That was quite the stiff arm Corey Mace threw at that Gatorade container. A bit later in the show, we will touch base with Belton Johnson and get his thoughts on to today on the Riders' win and what he would do when it comes to the quarterback this week. We are also the home of the fans, so we'll hear from a few callers from the postgame show on how they were feeling.
I think Lauder heard me tell him that Belton was going to be kicking if he didn't smarten up.
Once again, we'll go back to Friday here from quarterback Trevor Harris. Now he was feeling after the win. Also, what might happen if Mace tries to sit him?
I'll fight him. Make sure you guys tell him I said that.
So was there a fight? Did they have the UFC ring set up, the octagon, the head coach against the quarterback? Because, well, coming up next, we'll hear from Jake Mayer, who, based on accounts from practice today and how he's talking, will be starting this week against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. I'm Britton Gray in for Jamie and Locker here on the Green Zone for a special Thanksgiving Monday edition on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone. My name is Britton Gray, and I am in for Jamie and Locker on this Thanksgiving Monday edition of the show. Thank you all for joining me this afternoon. And boy, a lot of the questions heading into this week would be, what are the Riders going to do? They've clinched first place in the CFL West Division. They will host the West Final on November 8th. These last two games are kind of just a formality. You play them out at this point. But, of course, you still want to put the best product out there you can. Well, still maybe giving some guys some rest, which, of course, the quarterback, Trevor Harris, was always going to be. What do you do with him? He wants to play. He says he'll fight Corey Mace if he tries to sit him. Well, at practice today, it was Jake Mayer taking the starter reps. So let's hear from the veteran quarterback as he gets set for what could be his second start of this CFL season.
Jake, to get an opportunity this week, what does that mean to you to have that opportunity?
Man, it's awesome. Yeah, it's been a great year for us, obviously, and to be in a position where we are now, grant some opportunities for guys on our team to show who they are, and to continue to build momentum going into this playoff run is something that you don't get every year in the CFL. So, as a guy that's been on playoff teams, and teams don't make the playoffs anytime you get a chance to play. You gotta take advantage of those opportunities. You gotta embrace them.
Does anything change for you this week? I think you have said you prepare like a starter. Most guys do. What changes for you this week?
Just more vocal, obviously, in the huddle. More vocal on the field, making sure that you're communicating with the group that you're gonna have out there with you as much as you can. A little bit more vocal in meetings, things like that. But in terms of like the preparation that the quarterback room has, myself, Tommy, Jack, Trevor, we're in there together as much as we can, talking things out, formulating the things that we need to do to succeed. So as far as that goes, that won't change. But definitely you have a little bit more of a voice when you're out there participating and getting the reps.
As a leader and a vet, you know the deal here where you get the opportunity because the team is so good. But how important is the message of, this isn't the team taking the foot off the gas at all?
Yeah, you can't approach it that way. But again, I just go back to, and I've said this in the past, anytime you get the opportunity to play in a professional football game, regardless of what it means to the standings or anything like that, you have to show the organization that you belong, that you've earned the right to wear this uniform for this team, and you got to let it all hang out there like you are a starter, like you are a guy that plays every week. So, regardless of what the situation is that we're in, we are going to play as well as we can. I think guys need to be able to prove that when they step on the field, there is no drop-off, and you got to be able to execute just like the guys in front of you have.
The example last year, Nick had to play because Chad goes down. How important is it for you to get these reps?
I'm super grateful for it, obviously. That's a circumstance that we obviously hope we never have to see. He's a great example of that, a guy that's been in the league for a while. When he got his opportunity, he was able to lead his team to a championship. So, any opportunity I can get to get the live reps, the live bullets for the if necessary is going to be something I'm always going to be grateful for.
What has this year been like for you? You're so accustomed to being a starter, and it's a different situation this year. What's it like going through experiencing?
Man, I've observed a lot, probably more than I ever have, obviously. But it just goes beyond just staying on the sidelines and watching the game from that point of view. It's the week-to-week preparation. It's the seeing the offense and the team continue to build and see what that looks like, following the lead of Trevor and his leadership and just, taking little things here and there, that the example that he's setting for you every single day is something that I've been really appreciative for. And again, that's just from just observing the way that he handles his business. So I tell him all the time, I'm super grateful for him, being a part of my career now and me being a part of his. If anything, the observing of a great culture and a great coaching staff and a great veteran quarterback who's probably a Hall of Famer, like being a part of that every day has been really special.
The task this week, though, isn't easy against a Winnipeg team that held Hamilton to 3 points a couple weeks ago. Just what have you seen out of Winnipeg this week?
It's Winnipeg, man. They're gonna make offense difficult. They do what they do, obviously. As the season goes on, they have their wrinkles here and there that they add week to week. But they're the structure and they are the team and the culture that they've been for the last 5 years. They're always gonna pose specific challenges. I think they're one of those unique defenses that that is just kind of one of one in how they present themselves to you on a week-to-week basis. So it's going to be a challenge, obviously, but as long as we're detailed, we'll be very competitive. We'll be fun.
Do you have more confidence knowing that you've had a start already this year and you won that game even? Getting some game action.
Yeah.
And having opportunities already leading up. Like, this isn't your first game action.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, you definitely feel more confident because you've obviously done it with this group and with this team. Kind of getting the monkey off your back a little bit early on felt good. But, We're going to show up on Friday night with a purpose, and that purpose is to get better and compete as best we can.
Do you feel the enthusiasm of guys like Sean Bain and Mario Anderson and those guys?
Dude, I mean, there's so many guys that want to represent well and show this organization that they belong and that they're ready to compete. And kind of like you alluded to earlier, man, like you never know what can happen over the course of a season and when you're going to be called upon. So yeah, everybody's excited that gets a chance to go out there and compete because everybody here works hard. Like, this is one of the hardest working teams I've ever been around. So anytime you get to see the work ethic that goes into this, now you get an opportunity to play and contribute. That's a great feeling for all those guys.
Week four was an awful long time ago. Mm-hmm. Which has been harder, staying engaged in mental or physical to make sure that you're ready?
Ooh, probably just the, I don't know if it's necessarily mental, but it's just the, like, keeping up to speed. Like, you know, there's nothing like game-like experience, right? It's hard to simulate that. So there's a lot of prep that goes into the film room and obviously the reps that I get behind Trevor every single day. But, you know, to be able to get yourself back into that fire again and feel the real speed of a real game, that's always the challenge. But I'm fortunate enough over the last 5 years where I've started plenty of football games, and once play one happens, it feels like another game.
Trevor is very complimentary often about you and what you have brought to him in his game. What's he brought to you?
Oh, man, just how to lead. I think that's one of the biggest things and my bigger takeaways from Trevor. And then, you know, the things that he does in his prep, I tell all the time, there's a lot of things in his preparation that I'm definitely stealing going forward for the rest of my career. But just the way that he leads the group every single day, he's the same guy every day. And he just brings that energy and that focus that's undeniable. And I don't know anybody in the room that would ever, you know, not listen to everything he has to say. And when he speaks, everybody is very attentive and it means something. And so he's one of the best leaders I've ever been around.
Yes, Jake Mayer discussing after practice today. He is set to start this week. It looks like that will be the case as the Riders elect to give some guys just the week off. Get ready, get rested. This is a veteran team. You don't necessarily need the physical reps of being in a game. Those mental reps, just preparing. Plus, you don't want to risk injury. This team is already beat up in a lot of spots. The defensive backfield, there was nearly a chance if Marcus Sales didn't go. Three starters could have been guys who weren't even here at training camp. This team has had to find guys all season. Plus, you have to see what Jake Mayer has. You need to get a chance to look at him because a decision has to be made. I know everyone's focused on this year. Absolutely. In the back of management's heads, you're always thinking about what's next. What's next? Maybe next season. Is it Jake Mayer? Is it Jack Cohn? Does Trevor Harris come back or anything like that? This is a good opportunity for him to go out there, show what he can do, and show that he's still a quality starting quarterback in this league. Jake Mayer has gotten a lot of flack for his play. I've been one of those guys who definitely have been critical of what I saw from him in Calgary, but a chance to hit the reset button. And I will tell you, Jake Mayer, back at training camp, he threw the best deep ball on this team. He is really good at throwing the deep ball, and maybe we see a little bit more deep plays from this team. We'll wait and see what happens. How do you feel about the Riders' decision to sit Trevor Harris this week, or maybe some other starters? We'll have to wait and see, but that appears to be the case. You can text or call at 1-877-332-8255, as well as the Toronto Blue Jays, just a little bit over half an hour away, as the Jays get set to try and even things up after losing game one of the American League Championship Series. They'll be looking for a big day from Trey Savage, who I think caught the Yankees a little bit off guard. We'll see if he can catch the Seattle Mariners a little bit off guard as the Jays try to even that up and get back to the World Series. Meanwhile, Seattle trying to reach the World Series for the first time. I'm Britton Gray here on the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone. My name's Britton Gray, and I am in for Jamie and Walker on this Thanksgiving Monday edition of the show. The Riders were back at practice today, and Jake Mayer was taking the starting reps. Of course, now we get an update from Rider Reporter for a day, Jamie Nye. And Jamie, what was it like for you to be back out at practice?
No, you make me go to the practice that's the coldest practice so far this year. It actually wasn't that bad out there. I've been in a lot worse Rider practices than the one today during this Thanksgiving Monday. But, yeah, an interesting one because we're all anticipating, okay, what's the plan?
Who is the quarterback this week?
It's Jake Mayer. he's playing QB. I imagine Jack Cohn might also get some reps a little bit. Maybe. Not a lot, but this looks like Jake Mayer's game for sure. Jake Mayer and Mark Mueller and Corey Mace all talked about, you know, the conversation the coaches had to have with Trevor Harris. Of course, Trevor said, "I'll fight them." Corey was joking about that, saying, you know, "I came out clean." But no, it wasn't a fight to tell Trevor Harris. They know what's what. Last year, Nick Arbuckle had to play the Grey Cup for the Argos and won the Grey Cup. You know, they need Jake Mayer to be ready. They need Jake Mayer to get game reps. They need Trevor Harris to rest his arm and be as fresh as possible for the West Final. These are things they need to do, and that means Trevor Harris doesn't need to play, I don't think, anymore for the rest of the season, although I'd expect to see him back next week. Corey was asked by Daryl Davis, you know, what's the plan for next week? He's like, next week? I don't even know what's for lunch today, let alone what I'm going to do next week. So it'll be that'll be TBD on how they look next week. But this week it looks like a lot of guys who you regularly see won't be playing a lot of reps, if at all, on Friday.
You wrote a commentary. You can find it on cjme.com, ckom.com, about it's up to the coaching staff to kind of protect Trevor Harris from himself. He wants to be out there based on your talking and that commentary. You agree with this move, right? It's the best move for this team.
I don't think Trevor Harris has to play at all for the rest of the season. Like he's played 16 games, 15 games this season. I think he's good. Now, we've seen other teams do different things in the past. I was looking at Winnipeg in 2022. Zach didn't play in the 17th game. And then he played a few series in the 18th game, and that was it. Drew Brown and the other quarterbacks handled the rest of it for the Bombers in 2022. We saw what Argos tried to do last year, but Nick Arbuckle did get playing time, and that was huge for, you know, the Toronto Argonauts to have Nick be able to get some reps in. So you see different teams do different things. Now, Toronto in 2022, that was a different era, 2023. That was a different animal. They had that clinch for 2 months. That was really hard. So I don't think it's comparable to what the Riders need to do here. But, yeah, Trevor Harris, rest his arm, rest his body, let him be as fresh as possible. Because you know the prep's going to be there. He's going to be in the room with Jake and there and Mark and everybody else to be ready for the West Final.
Does it matter who the opponent is this weekend? We're talking about a Winnipeg team, physical. They're battling for their playoff lives now after kind of losing to Edmonton. If it was a team like Ottawa or something that's already eliminated, do you switch your mindset or no? Was he always sitting this week?
Nope. Didn't matter to me. They could be playing a high school team. Didn't matter to me on who's playing what, when, and how, or where. It was rest Trevor Harris, have him. And Jake Mayer needs reps.
Yes.
He needs live reps. A lot of these guys need live reps. I was talking to Mark about, you know, Mark Mueller, the offensive coordinator, about not only Nick Arbuckle, but in 07, the Riders needed a bunch of backup receivers to play in that Grey Cup game. And, you know, so you'll get Del Duncan Busby. You will get a Joe. You will get Sean Bain Jr. You will get these guys live game rep. Mario Anderson instead of AJ Ouellette. You'll get these guys some reps. Even on the offensive line, like Braden Knoll, center, was taking a lot of the reps. Washington, right tackle instead of Jamarcus Hardrick. There was a lot of guys up this week we haven't seen a lot of in the starting receiving core.
The Green Zone's Jamie Nye joining us and Rider Reporter for the day as he was out there for me today. And so Brett Lawther, 5 for 5, a lot of people feeling more confident. Was he out there or is he maybe getting another week off?
I'm going to assume you're going to have to ask Corey about kicker tomorrow because it was all about quarterbacks and rest. But it to me, it looked like Michael Hughes. I get there and they're doing the field goals and Michael Hughes is doing the 25 and then he's kicking from 30 and 37 and 42 and 52 and 55. Like Brett didn't even have a helmet today. So it was all the American kicker, Michael Hughes. Of course, Campbell Fair was released yesterday. So we will, I assume it's going to be Hughes kicking this week. It just makes sense to me. Doesn't it make sense to you, Britton?
It really does. Yeah.
Like you brought him here. And yes, Brett's 87.5% over the last five games. But you brought the American here, I assume. And Tavon Campbell might be in this week. Like in the starting secondary, when they were out there, Tavon Campbell was at corner. So that's the move we were talking about last week. Tavon Campbell comes in, you take your American guy off, and you take the Canadian kicker off and put the American kicker on. Done. So I think that's that is how it'll look on Friday. I think that's how it's going
to
look.
We'll have to wait and see. You spoke about Tavon Campbell being out there. Any other moves we need to be aware of that they might be making this week? Anyone getting healthier or anything like that?
Well, it was reassuring that Nelson Lacombo was out there in a jersey with a helmet. But after a lot of the sessions and things like that, he went with Dan Farthing, the strength and conditioning coach, and did a lot of the same stuff we saw Sam Emelis and Kian Schaefer-Baker going through a week or two before they would return to the lineup. So I'm not sure we'll see Nelson Lacombo, but by the West Final, I imagine we'll see Nelson Lacombo, which is great for the ratio, great at safety. You can move CJ Rivas back or not. Or he's just a great backup and special teams player you have just in case of an injury, because the way the ratio, three Canadian receivers, two A.J. Allen, and then Tavon Campbell, you don't need to go Canadian safety. But Jackson Ford has a brace. He looks like he's getting close-ish. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Tavon Campbell, as I mentioned, was taking some of the first-team reps.
And just so, what do you want to see from this Riders team in this next coming week? We know they're probably resting a bunch of starters. It will be tough to win in Winnipeg, even if the starters were playing. So what do you want to see from the team this week? Or is it just kind of go through the motions?
No, Josh Bell revved me up. I'll be honest, talking to him today, because I talked to he's not the defensive coordinator, but he handles a lot of that work, with Corey Mace being the head coach. But I talked to he and Mark Mueller and Coach Mace about this. You can't let your foot off the gas. Even though it's not the regulars that might be up, that intensity has to be there. The guys who are down this week because of rest need to, you know, be on the sideline and see these guys giving a bleep about how they're doing. And that's what I want to see. I want to see intensity, enthusiasm, and I want to see the team that wants to go into Winnipeg like they did in the Banjo Bowl and punch the Bombers in the mouth. Like, that's... it doesn't matter who you are. Mario Anderson may not be the starting running back, but he should want to run through the linebacking core of the Bombers just as bad as A.J. Ouellette does. Going through the motions is the last thing I want to see. I want to see intensity, enthusiasm, all that stuff. Like we saw from the Argos, right? Their season was done. They didn't have anything to play for. That didn't look like they didn't have anything to play for on Friday against the Riders.
Well, that's the Riders practice update. There's a lot of sports to talk about, Jamie. Do you mind sticking around?
Are we talking about the Raiders? Big win!
Yeah, let's talk about them and not what the Dallas Cowboys did over the weekend.
I don't agree to that. I want to talk about the Cowboys, too.
I'm Britton Gray, and for a special Thanksgiving Monday edition of the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone. My name is Britton Gray, and I am in for Jamie and Locker on this Thanksgiving Monday edition of the show. Well, still joining me right now is the Green Zone's Jamie Nye, Rider reporter for a day. But let's switch gears. Let's talk a little bit about the NFL. You got to actually enjoy Sunday as your favorite team, the Las Vegas Raiders, handled business.
I did. Finally, it's been a while for the Raiders to get a W. But when it was the Tennessee Titans at home, you better beat the Titans at home. Like, seriously, the Titans are down there with, like, the Carolina Panthers. Those are teams you just have to beat, right, Britton?
Yeah. Speaking of Carolina, the Rico Dowdle revenge game. He didn't get 200 all-purpose yards, just 180-ish, and ran over them. And the Cowboys, Dak Prescott could be the NFL MVP this season with what he's doing. They might finish 8-8-1 because... oh, boy, if only the Dallas Cowboys had Micah Parsons on their team to get after a quarterback late, because that defense is terrible, Jamie. Eberflus should be fired.
Oh, jeez.
I'm done with it already.
Okay. I'm not sorry I brought it up, but, yeah. the Carolina Panthers. That was a big game for the Carolina Panthers. They have a better record than the Dallas Cowboys now.
So do a lot of teams. It's terrible. Over. Anyway, let's move on before my blood pressure spikes through the roof.
It sounds like it's too late, Britton.
Maybe. The Kansas City Chiefs, a big win over the Detroit Lions. They looked much more like the Kansas City we're used to seeing than what we've seen so far this year.
You're taking on the 4-1 Lions. And this is a Lions team that a lot of people have playing in the Super Bowl. And yes, the Chiefs have been to a bunch of consecutive Super Bowls. But at 2-3 going into that game, a lot of people were picking against the Kansas City Chiefs. I definitely did with the Detroit Lions. And there you have it. Like Travis Kelce, he was engaged. Xavier Worth and Rashee Rice gets back in the lineup for the Kansas City Chiefs too. Coming up, that's another weapon to the arsenal. That defense only allowing 17 points against Goff and Amon-Ra and Gibbs, and like that was an impressive defensive performance. It was at Arrowhead. It was in prime time.
Talk about the reffing. Zero penalties for the Kansas. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but anytime there's zero penalties.
Have you watched the Chiefs games? They've had a lot of calls go against them this season, so let's slow down on the Chiefs.
I wish they would have let that Goff touchdown stand, though. That was fun football that just got taken away.
Too bad. But anyways, the Chiefs are now 3-3, and remember their schedule. Their schedule was front-loaded with a lot of tough teams. And they still have a few, right? Like the Bills. They have to go to the Bills. But after their bye week, it's the Broncos, the Colts, the Cowboys, Texans, Chargers, Titans, Broncos, Raiders. Like, they could finish this season 11-6, 12-5 still. Like, that performance shows. Locker might be wrong on the Chiefs missing the playoffs.
Patrick Mahomes might throw for 600 against the Cowboys defense when they play. Also, just before we move on to the Blue Jays, which we're going to talk about, just at the end, the fight at the end, a brawl broke out. I imagine something's coming down.
A lot of people gave credit to John Schneider's post-game speech, you know, going through with the Blue Jays when they advanced. I thought Dan Campbell's post-game speech was even more important than that one. That one's an easy speech. We win. Yay, let's go. What Dan Campbell said last night about his own player not being the Lions' way, that's not how we do things. Shame on him. That's going to be taken care of. That's more important. And that's why Dan Campbell gets it, man. I liked what he said after the game because that was a bunch of horse manure on Mahomes trying to dap him up. Then kind of like, okay, whatever. And then he throws a blow at Juju Smith-Schuster. Like, what are we doing here? Like, what is that from Branch? The only thing, I think the Chiefs' biggest offseason move they can make is try to hire the security guy in Philadelphia. I forget his name.
Yeah.
Big Joe or whatever they call him over in Philly. And just keep him beside Patrick Mahomes because no player should allow Patrick Mahomes to get in there. And he got down to the bottom of the pile. And I'm like, that's your quarterback, man. What are we doing? I like Travis Kelce's attitude in that one. He was, not getting in there at all. But, yeah, can't have that, especially post-game and everything else. That was not a good look. And that was not a good look on the Lions. And good on Dan Campbell for calling out his own player.
All right, let's switch gears here. The Toronto Blue Jays, tough first-game loss to the Seattle Mariners. But I mean, when you only score on the first pitch of the ball game, you need to be better offensively.
Hey, Kevin Gausman, what the heck are you talking about? It's on you? What?
Yeah.
Two hits from that Blue Jays offense. And one of them was on the first pitch. So they got one hit through the rest of the lineup the entire way. That wasn't on Kevin Gausman. Again, this Blue Jays offense, if they're not going, they're losing. The Mariners pitching staff is a bit better than the Yankees, isn't it? We got reminded of last night. But we'll see. Coming up, you know, in a couple of minutes here in Toronto. This offense, who knows what you're going to get. You can get one or two runs, or they could go for 11. I believe the roof's open today in Toronto. It's a nice day there for Thanksgiving, and they're almost unbeatable when that lid's open. Maybe they're inspired by looking up at the CN Tower.
And Treya Savage getting the start today. Very impressive first time out. Quite the task he has with him in facing that Seattle lineup led by, of course, the catcher, Cal Raleigh.
Well, yeah, big dumper, right? So he hit the home run that really sparked the Seattle move. But the Yankees were baffled by Treya Savage. I'll be very interested because where the Mariners are on how much their hitting coach and analytics and all that have looked over his release point, because his release point's a lot different than most, and see if they figured him out. Because I think this young guy could baffle the teams that haven't faced him before and haven't seen that release point. So I'll be interested to see how it works for Treya Savage.
Up next, we'll head back to the feelings of Friday night after the big win over the Toronto Argonauts, as we hear from Jamie and the Green Zone guys on how they are feeling. Of course, as we're talking with Jamie and I there, the Blue Jays game is about to get underway here. We'll provide updates of that as the Blue Jays try to get back in the win column, even things up at one apiece here in the American League Championship Series, and return to the World Series. But it really hurts that you lose game one in something like this. I'm Britton Gray here on a special Thanksgiving Monday edition of the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.